Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of But Am I Wrong? Starring two people who have not once ever been wrong. We pride ourselves on being correct all of the time. It's a burden, but someone's got to do it.
Burden that I don't mind bearing.
Not at all. So if you're brand new here, we will explain that this podcast is where we gossip, we talk shit ethically. We tell people if they're wrong. We tell them if they're right. And we also incorporate some pop culture, celebrity, current events talk too. Think of it as shit talking, but you shouldn't feel guilty about it.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to explain it.
You know? So we've got three different segments. We'll explain each of the segments before them so you don't get too confused. But I will say the only thing you really need to keep in mind for the whole episode is it's not just us talking. We also include your opinions, your voices. And we want you to vote on who you think is wrong in each segment that we discuss in this episode by going to our Instagram story and voting in those. And those will also be added to a highlight. I probably did not add the ones to a highlight this week. We were doing so good. And by we, I mean me. I did one so early. And then I did the other one like
relatively early.
And then I did this one the latest I've ever done one.
Completely forgot.
Like, completely forgot. And also was reminded, not by you, but I was reminded, and I was so late at doing it, it didn't even register in my mind. I go, votes for fucking what? Like, I don't know what that means. And then I realized hours later.
I think because we did the AMAs and I was sitting on the toilet answering so many that I just forgot.
Yeah, I think there just has to be that. So just know that I apologize that these ones went up. Last week's episode went up late and the episode's up late.
Yeah. But I also put up the wrong episode. Don't blame me. So
everybody was like, hey, Carly.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I told Melissa, she said it's fixed. It'll happen. Because like, the feeds take so long to refresh.
Yeah, it was just the feeds refreshing because, and then if it downloaded on your phone.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like the feeds have to refresh internally, like on the servers, but yes. Then your own phone has to, you have to usually manually do that, otherwise it's going to take like 24 hours to catch up.
Yep. So it had been done very early because Nicole sent me a message about I happened to be up. What, you know how you have been bad sleeping? I got up at like, I was getting up when you went to sleep.
Oh, nice at 4 a.m.
Yeah, I had to pee and then just didn't go back to sleep, and I blame it on I did a CBD tea. Mm-hmm. And I didn't fully go to sleep. I was just like in between sleep because I remember everything about that night. So I was just up. So I happened to be up when she was up on Central Time, and I've changed it then. So it was changed by the time you messaged me.
Which I also messaged because Nicole said it. Mm. And I was like, okay. And I was like, oh, I'll tell Melissa. And she's like, I already told Melissa. And I was like, oh, then there's nothing for me to do. All I'm going to do is tell Melissa.
Yeah.
But I appreciated it. So you're always in for a treat with us.
You never know what you're going to get.
No, because neither do we. Crazy. Anyways, so shall we get into our first segment?
Yeah, I'm up first. All right. So mine is, we've actually done something quite similar before, but first I should explain what the segment is. But yep. Am I wrong? But am I wrong is when we pick something from our own lives. Could be a rant, could be something we might have been wrong about, could just be an opinion that we have that we share it with the class and then everybody votes if we're wrong or not. Mine is something that we've talked about before, but it's recently popped up again, and it's hiding behind Disney doesn't make you less racist. So people fan cast it Avantika as Rapunzel in the live action. And for the Tangled, you know, when they do they've been doing the live actions, and it's sent to a whole bunch of white girls on the internet in a tizzy because they're like, I no longer feel represented as a white girl, as if the cartoon with Mandy Moore doesn't exist. First of all, the fan casting, the movie has not been greenlit. There is no script for a real Rapunzel remake movie. It's fake. It was a fan cast. And people were just up in arms about it. Also, people of color have been seeing themselves as white princesses all the time. You couldn't tell me in first grade that I wasn't Belle.
Yeah.
It's the essence of the character. If you're teaching your children about like skin tone and that's your part of the problem.
You can't tell me that there's any Cinderella besides Brandy.
Yeah.
That's for you. And as a child.
Yes.
To this day, from the time I was a literal child up until now, she is. Close my eyes, Cinderella.
Yes. Yes. And so, like, if you can't stretch your imagination, that's on you. Do better. Also, she hasn't actually been casted. There was no real announcement. Again, it was just somebody on a vlog writing that is what they wanted. And then it got shared out. And then people were making the argument that she's not German, which, one, being German isn't essential to the story.
I didn't even know she was German.
Exactly. It's because it was made by the Grimm's brothers they actually didn't even create any of these stories. It was just stories that were told fables. Upon and they wrote them down. Mm-hmm. They're not based on any type of culture or custom. And then people started pitching people to play who they'd like to see instead, people like Florence Pugh. And Florence Pugh is white, but she is not German. So again, your racism is showing. Like, your racism is showing.
Yeah, what does German look like?
Yep.
What's that implication there?
Exactly.
You know who also thought Germans had a look? Okay.
So anyone can play Rapunzel. And also, Avantika has already been cast as another Disney princess that is called Princess in a Crown of Wishes, which will be a Disney Plus series. So she's not going to be Rapunzel anyway.
No, they're very serious. Disney's very serious about the, you can't be two princesses.
Right. And then people were like saying, well, Sabrina Carpenter should be Tiana. One, Sabrina would never. From what I, the bare minimum that I know about Sabrina Carpenter.
Yeah, Sabrina said, no, thank you.
No, never. She would not do that. And then two, being black is essential to who Tiana is. Tiana is based on a real life black lady. So therefore, she has to be black.
Yeah, being black is not crucial to Sabrina Carpenter's story.
No.
Because she's not black.
Right. And being German is not crucial to Rapunzel's story because it has nothing to do with Germany.
Nor Florence Pugh.
No.
It's crazy.
Florence Pugh's head does look the same shape. Yeah. But that's as far as we go.
There you go. That's it. Wow. So, this is who I saw people were also fan casting. And she like responded to
her
trolling.
Hers was she had a dream night.
I must have mixed up her.
So the gal from Never Have I Ever.
There you go. I thought it was Sex Lives.
Mm-mm, she's on Never Have I Ever.
Okay.
The other Mindy Kaling show that also has an Indian Megan.
But I was going to say, that's the same. They're both Mindy Kaling shows.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So she said, she like just tweeted out, I had a dream that I was Rapunzel or something like that. And then people started sending her racist stuff. They've been putting racist stuff on hers and on Avantika's Instagrams, calling them the N-word and things like that. So tell me what's racist about that. Everything?
What?
Everything? They'll just have, they've just like posted just regular things on Instagram. And then people just write the N-word under their posts.
This is like truly insane. Also, if people want to get so nitpicky, which it's, again, we saw people up in arms over a mermaid casting. And they said, she's not a real mermaid. She needs to be a white lady because only white ladies are mermaids. And it's like, that's fucking crazy. I'm waiting for them. Like, where's the uproar in the live action of SpongeBob? About David Hasselhoff being with sponges. Mm-hmm. Like, where's that? And also, Naomi Scott, who played Jasmine.
Mm-hmm. We don't even know what Jasmine is. That's just the Middle East somewhere.
Yeah, she's supposed to be Arab versus being Indian. And then it was like, if you want to get on the people who are saying about whatever. And then the comparison that I saw was when people were, I don't think it was Florence Pugh that I saw, where someone was suggesting like, oh, it could be like Sydney Sweeney or something. And it's like, Sydney Sweeney's not that ethnicity there, but it makes sense. And it's like, do you think similarly way you think Naomi Scott made sense for Princess Jasmine, even though she also doesn't fit the claim that you're making?
Mm-hmm.
Insane.
Like, get a life. I literally saw a girl crying on TikTok over this. It was fake. It's not even real.
But also, like, we say this as people who both have written fanfic. Both have been involved in varying fandoms from young ages. Like, that is absolutely insane.
Right.
But absolutely that's insane.
Some people just see white people as the default. And then anything else is just whatever. Like, I can see myself in any character that I relate to, regardless of skin color or culture or origin. Like, if you can't do that, you're the problem.
It's also just so fucking crazy because, like, I've never not seen myself in shit.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, my cup runneth over. Right. I don't need to see the representation of me in that because, like,
there's so much.
There's so much that I don't even clock of being like, oh, well, that's like, no. Would I be disappointed if they changed a role that was like women? They made it about this is all men. I'd be like, well, that sucks. But
because in that, if you're going from all women to all men, men are already the majority.
And it totally changes
the dynamic.
The person, it changes like all of these other things. But like, just a different woman. I'm like, cool, amazing, great, wonderful. And I it's also just like, you're right. It's a lack of imagination that's like so wild to me, especially when it comes to like animated stuff, because not to be like, oh, I don't see race in this, but like when their upbringing is not fucking involved mm-hmm. and like their culture is not a part of the goddamn fucking story, I couldn't tell you where it's set. I couldn't tell you where they're supposed to be or what it's like. If they're not traveling, again, if it's not Princess Jasmine riding on a magic carpet, it's not Tiana in the bayou, like I don't know. There's a talking reindeer. Right. Like, I can't tell you what that's supposed to be as like a, oh, this should be some clear representation mm-hmm. of, and representation of what? White right. people. And those poor fucking actors. Because like, first of all, not your fault if you get cast in something the same way it's not your fault if you don't get cast in something, but they were never cast.
Right. Never. Reading is fundamental, people.
Crazy. Well, what a coincidence, because I will be talking about Disney later.
Great. Does it have to do with somebody that's running for the board?
Nope.
Because that was, well, since we're on that Disney anyway, somebody, I was going to do him for Rachel of the Week, but somebody's, I don't remember his name off the top of my head because I didn't do the full research, but he is running for the board and also made like mad because Black Panther revolved around Black people and was like, why can't white people be in it? And he also had his daughter in, like, cast her in something. I forgot. I'll just have to do a deep dive later and share it as a Rachel of the Week next time.
It's crazy to me when people are like, why don't we get to see white people being so technologically advanced? And I go, we have The Social Network and we have Oppenheimer. Like, mm-hmm. this is what happens when we have white men with all of this power. We have an atomic bomb movie and the guy who made fucking Facebook. Yep. Like, we have that just because it didn't end the way you wanted it to. Unfortunately, those are true stories. Like, why can't we just have more fantasies about white people actually doing the right thing?
You could if you wanted to. It's really a fantasy. Like, you have the power if you want to do it. But, like, who wants to see it?
Make it a musical.
All right. Your turn.
Okay. I have a hot take that is similar to the vein of my one from 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Which was Airplanes of the New Printers. Mm-hmm. And now we have round two.
Three.
I guess you're right. Streetlights are the new headlights.
Continue.
Something terrible has happened to me. And it started off slow. It started off, and some might say, this is what JoJo Siwa wrote Karma about, which is my experience. One of our neighbors.
So a lie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know one if you want to put your name on that.
One of our neighbors, like, or not neighbors, but like in our neighborhood, driving home, I was like, good God, our poor neighbors, they got God. They replaced the classic Los Angeles old school streetlight with one that only should belong in the parking lot of Ralph's. Oh. It's a high tech one that like looks very like space agey. But the worst part of it is the light that it emits is a purple LED light.
What?
So it looks like there's a Halloween spotlight. It kind of looks like that behind the scenes shot of Nope where they have the big spotlight on the house. Mm-hmm. It looks like it's that level of bright. And I
have
saw
you written into my favorite place to write into or call them.
Oh, believe me, we'll get to that point.
Okay.
And I'm like, good God, this is hideous. The way I would be livid. Mm-hmm. Like, this is it's so ugly. It's so jarring next to all of these gorgeous warm little orbs. And then after 3 weeks of telling everyone about it, telling my in-laws, and then being like, how ugly is that? I go, I fucking know. Telling everybody, do I exit my house one day? And I see that streetlight has multiplied. There's a second one. And where did that one Pixar hop and land? In front of my home. Now, I will say, I'm incredibly lucky because it did take me going outside to see that. I cannot see it from the inside because it does look like an alien invasion.
Okay.
So like it's fucking freaky. So I can't see the one that's by our place right there. So I'm livid and I want everyone to know this is the same tone of lights, more purpley, but the same tone as the LED fucking headlights. So the same thing happens for me as someone with an astigmatism. They halo like nobody's fucking business. Yes, you can see a lot more light, but the light itself casts this like flare off of it that makes it like you can't, there's no contrast. So I can't see anything. And so the reason why I hate those streetlights so much is like when they catch in like the rearview mirror or whatever, the projection of the light is so bright when you're staring directly at it that it engulfs everything. So you can't see. And it's why driving at night is really hard for me, because that specifically fucks with my depth perception because they're too big. The light never changes size based on like, oh, it's really far away. So it's a lot smaller. It usually the light
shadow.
Yeah. The light usually in ones that are like more yellow. And like, yes, there's a whole science thing. And I was trying to read about it to like explain it, but like it's too hard. But like there's either rod lights or cone lights. Mm-hmm. And when you have like a yellow light, which is what we're used to, like the warm glow, the light starts out really small from behind. And then as you get closer, it gets bigger and bigger, and then it eventually goes like you can see more, but it's more targeted that way. So in looking up what the fuck is happening with these streetlights, I found out that this has been slowly but surely happening across the country. It seems like the rumor is, or the most likely theory is, that the government contracts have run out with the original streetlights, and so now LEDs are cheaper right off the bat to make and secure, and they advertise as not needing pretty much any repairs and like kind of lasting forever and like not needing any maintenance on them. So it'll save a hell of a lot of money. And then seemingly what people think that they are citing or why they've sold people on it is because it means you need less of them because they cast a much wider light and you can see them from a lot farther away. But the other portion of that is because of it's so big like that, you can see stationary objects from far away. When you are up close, you cannot see moving objects. And so I was reading a bunch of stuff of these like scientists who are like predicting, and unless they like pull this back pretty quickly, like pedestrians are going to die, because regardless if you have like, if you have an astigmatism, they're like already, if you have an astigmatism or any vision problem, your depth perception is gone with them. They're too fucking hard to see. But even if you don't, It fucks with the contrast of things and how things move. You can see those things from far away, but when they get closer, you don't know how close they are. You don't know how far away the thing you're coming at. You're not able to differentiate any of that stuff. And the reaction time is far too slow. And you're having them set up every once in a while. Not like you're not lighting the entire street, so people's eyes are getting like used to it, then out of it, then used to it, then out of it. And they're predicting that this is not going to be safe whatsoever and harming other drivers, because it, like when you're driving your car, it's too fucking bright. You can't see. It takes up everything, and as well as pedestrians and passengers. And I'm just like not shocked at like the fact that like anyone who thinks like I'm going to make a product and sell it to the government for like a cheap fucking price, but that nobody has ever said like, hey, maybe let's not do this. And it's hideous, especially when we have cities being like, ugh, noise pollution, like, or like light pollution. We want to make sure that like we like preserve so it's not like bright all the time. And then you give us grocery store, IKEA level, utilitarian, corporate streetlights on my home. I'm like, where should I put the shopping cart?
I'm confused for two reasons. One, they were putting these lights, essentially the same type of lights, in cars. And then people were getting blinded by them while they're driving, and they stopped doing it.
They're still doing it in cars. It's just slightly different.
They've changed it, but it's not like as harsh as it was when they first came out.
Yeah. So the premise of it is that there's a coating that they put on it. So they, because the LED lights can't have a full spectrum, they can't be white. So you have to combine all these colors. Mm-hmm. And so now what they're doing is they're adding like a thicker film or coating on it and then repairing it every so often so it stays whiter and less blue for that. And I think originally they just weren't doing that in cars.
Okay. And then two, on the main street that is by me, they put up all new lights, but they're solar lights. So they're not these bright lights that you're talking about. It's just like when you get close to them, they come on. So like, I'm confused about why there's two different types of lights. I know what you're talking about. I'm just confused at why there's two different types of lights that are going up in the city of Los Angeles.
I don't know.
And the ones that are near me seem like they're better because they're solar, so they're only taking what they're coming into, and then like they're only turning on when you're near them.
So ugly.
Yeah.
And they're big and flat.
Yeah. So have you written in to complain?
No, I haven't written in because I literally just discovered the one outside of ours, because initially I thought maybe like our neighbors elected to get a new, because there wasn't a street light there before, and so I thought maybe they elected to get one, and in order to get one, a new, they were going to make you do this new one. But like ours was perfectly fine.
Yeah. I would report it.
I will.
That's what I would do.
Well, I'm just like, I'm so upset because LA, I think we've done an incredible job, even with the new architecture and like buildings and like in offices and stuff. Like LA is like very rich in architectural history and like a very specific look that we do value. Like people don't tear down these beautiful LA homes. They tear out the inside and they make it fucking ugly. But like still, there's a lot of like preservation of like historic. There's so many little historic societies and like streets and stuff that the idea that they would put these fucking in is it feels like. So it feels like someone let this slide and then the rest of the people have no idea that this is what was happening.
Yep.
And it just makes me so mad because why are you trying to save money with us on like things in the cars? Like, let's try and save money. And as someone with vision problems, how about we try and make sure that we don't make it more dangerous? I don't need it to be cheaper on the road. I need it to be safer on the fucking road.
You should write into. He is a politician that talks shit about other politicians.
Kenneth.
Kenneth was like, why are they bringing in an outside account when this is literally my job? Why are you spending money on something when I'm already here? Like, you're paying these people off to say what you want them to say. Kenneth is always talking shit. So I feel
Kenneth
like
he's in a tank top talking shit 24/7. And that's why I voted for him.
With them high cheekbones?
Yeah. Kenneth is looking
real good,
real gorgeous. And Kenneth's got a lot of thoughts and feelings and he's going
to
share them.
Yes. And so I think maybe you should ask him who to specifically talk to because he'll answer.
Help me out.
He'll answer you. So he'll probably be like, yeah, they were wasting money on this.
Yeah. I'm like, this shit is ugly.
Uh-huh. Because it would have had to. The budget goes through him. So,
yeah, it's just like I don't need my life to be colored. Like the town, like I don't need my life to be like. Look like a dark fucking heist movie. I want it to be lit. Like Ocean's 13. I want it to be like, make this beautiful and gorgeous and warm and like stunning. Don't give me this and also there's nothing I fucking hate more. No offense, anyone. I goddamn fucking hate Halloween lights. I specifically hate these orange and purple lights. But more than anything, I really fucking hate the purple lights on Halloween. I'll take the orange, but like this purple, just there's something that it does to my brain. And really what it does is to my eyes and it pisses me off. And now it looks like Halloween all the time.
Yeah.
And not the good part of Halloween.
Yeah.
It's so cold and like, it's just like such like, it's giving like whatever that Blade Runner movie. It's giving like, I don't know, like art house action movie. Something that like the guy that you fucking hated in college was like, oh, I love this movie. Like it's giving that.
Yeah.
And I hate it.
So you're not wrong.
Oh, and I would just like to say shout out to, I know, Wisconsin and Iowa, and I think Fort Worth, those were the places that got him first. Just know that I see you online and I see you guys making a stink and I'm just hopping in on the fight.
Yeah.
I fucking hate LED lights. Like me versus LED lights permanently, apparently.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break and when we get back, we'll get into, but are you wrong?
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Today's episode is brought to you by a sponsor we love, 310 Nutrition. 310 Nutrition is helping us, you, our listeners, in the new year with protein and superfood rich products with so many options and flavors for your personal preferences. They're adding new products all of the time, and I just got my, I mean, I didn't just get my package. I just got a secondary of my package. And I, as someone who needs electrolytes to function, there it's like elixir from the gods. I cannot sing their praises enough, specifically the cucumber flavor of this electrolyte mix is delicious. Like it's so good. I've even like had it on like ice and been like, I'm drinking like a drink. Like you can throw a little straw in there. And it's delicious. It's so good. And I love, they're filled with so many great ingredients that really help if you're like me and you like, you know, medically need some electrolytes, but also if you're working out, if you're sweating, hot summer day, you're going to an amusement park, you're on your feet for a long period of time, all of that. Most of us are not getting the electrolytes we need.
Yeah, I drink mine specifically when I am working out. It's my beverage while I'm working out. I just take one stick of the hydrate, mix it in with my bottle of water. 16 ounces of water can provide the same amount of hydration equal to drinking 2 to 3 bottles of water if you got that hydrate in there. They also have the all-in-one shakes, which I absolutely love. I'm running low, so I gotta get some more. But I love the chocolate bliss, the vanilla cream, the caramel sundae. I have all three of those flavors. Sometimes I mix and match them. Sometimes I'll use it when I'm baking, or I'll just drink it straight. And they're so good. They have a triplex protein blend, plant-based proteins that include pea, brown rice, and pumpkin that makes it so delicious. You can get fiber and superfood blends with more than 25 organic fibers and superfoods blended into one easy, delicious shake. And they also have 310's 4-shake flavor starter kit, which lets you sample all the flavors for only $9.
Right now, 310 is celebrating a new year of goals with Don't Blame Me and giving our listeners 50% off up to $100 for your first order. With so many sample packs, new products, it's really fun and super easy to put together an order, or you can start a subscription on products you know you'll use. Go to 310nutrition.com and use the code BLAMEME right now for 50% off up to $100 for your first order. That's 310nutrition.com and use code BLAMEME.
In our live stream, our listeners are always recommending and talking about books. So we're so excited about Book of the Month because this is something that our listeners are going to love.
This is a brand that I've been familiar with for a long time. I like love watching people talk about it. I love seeing what books people are reading and like what books they have available. And I love everything about it. So I'm so excited for someone who like... you know, the ease of getting into a book, a lot of it can feel like really daunting. So to have like a service where it's like, you're going to get like high quality hardcover books, which that's my preferred way to read, at incredible prices, but also curated. So it's like amazing, cool, wonderful, great. This is, it's kind of like a straight shot into that, and something that Book of the Month you can do over and over and over again. And one of the great things about it is the longer you are part of the program, the cheaper the books get.
Book of the Month's mission is to help readers discover new books they love and promote the work of emerging authors. One of the amazing things about Book of the Month is that every aspect of Book of the Month experience is designed to be fun and special for readers. First of all, the books come in a bright blue box, which is very pretty. Me and Megan were just talking about them. There's also a fun app to pick your books and track reading progress. And as well, there are reading challenges and rewards.
And Book of the Month makes it really easy to decide what book to read next, which for me is like the biggest hurdle. I love when other people make choices for me, especially when they're good choices. And I'm like, cool, I can trust you. So each month, the editorial team reads through hundreds of new titles and they pick some of the best new books for you to choose from. All of the books are so good, you can't go wrong. And I mean that wholeheartedly. When we were picking like our selects for this, I was like, wait, this, I like all of them. This is hard. And I literally coordinated with Melissa and I was like, okay, so these are like my top ones. I'm assuming they will be yours. So don't pick the same one as me. So then we can swap afterwards. And that's what we did.
So we got The Ministry of Time by Killian Bradley. And we also received The Return of Ellie Black by Emiko Jean.
The Ministry of Time is like, people are calling it like, if you're a fan of Outlander and like spy novels or time traveling books, it's quoted from Town and Country saying it's really innovative, fun storytelling. The Ministry of Time is definitely for you, and listed as 45 of the must-read books for spring 2024. And then Harper's Bazaar also said part time travel romance, part spy thriller, and 100% multifaceted joyride. When I tell you that, I was like, sold.
We're also excited about The Return of Ellie Black. And this one is about a missing girl who returns, but that isn't the end of the story. It's only the beginning. We both like a detective book. This one is 20 years since Detective Chelsea Calhoun's sister vanishes. Ever since, Chelsea has been searching for signs for closure for other missing girls. But happy endings are rare in Chelsea's line of work. Which, that sounds so intriguing. And I'm looking forward to reading this novel so much.
Can't wait. And we're so excited to usher in this new sponsor. And we know y'all are already going to love this. Plus, we've been recommended this so many times. Mm-hmm. So we've already got fans in you. Try the service yourself at bookofthemonth.com. And you can get your first book for $5 with code PETALS. That is your first book, $5 at bookofthemonth.com using code PETALS.
And we're back, and it's time for But Are You Wrong? That is when y'all write into butamiwrongpod@gmail.com or slide into our DMs and share things in your life that you may be wrong about. Make sure that you include your age, and I'll get into the first one. I currently work as a medical assistant at an OBGYN office. I work under Cruella, an NP who's been in the field for almost 50 years. She's currently in her early 70s. She's been awful to me since my first day. Some things she's done, said, are borderline verbal abuse. She rolls her eyes when I ask questions, makes nasty comments about how I'm not doing something right, and I've even caught her talking about me to the other staff. She makes condescending and disrespectful remarks, even when I'm doing everything right. She also doesn't use EMR correctly and makes mistakes when placing orders, which I get reprimanded for. She requires me to write patient history on paper because she refuses to use the computer, which takes a lot of time. I recently got into medical school and will be moving in July. Yay! When I informed my supervisor of this, she told me she is going to start looking for my replacement. Typically, the doctor who owns the practice conducts interviews, but I think it would be beneficial to both Cruella and the prospective hire to get acquainted before working together. Would I be wrong if I suggested to my manager to allow Cruella to sit in on the interviews? Is it my place to suggest this? Would it tip her off that I think she's hard to work with? LOL. The head MD became my mentor as I applied to schools, and I want to maintain a good relationship with him. But I also want to warn whoever might become Cruella's next victim. Let me know your thoughts. I don't think this is wrong at all. I also think that this should be part of the interviews as it is. I know when I've interviewed for jobs, you usually talk to different people. Like if you do your initial interview with like mm-hmm. the initial person, the next interview is with another group of people, then the final interview is like the big boss. So I don't think it would be wrong at all. I think you should be implementing this as it is. Do it. Nothing wrong with this. I think this gives a clear view of the workplace culture.
Yeah, I also think, like, I mean, the fact that you want to do it, I think is impressive. Like, I don't think that this should be your responsibility, but like, if you want to mm-hmm. do it, totally go for it. I also think that, like, you could also tell the head MD, hey, I think it'd be really beneficial to have her be in an interview or something, like, blah, blah, blah. Just because, like, for full transparency, like, I've had some difficulties working with her and I don't know if it's a me thing, and it might be good to get her input in the room so she can, it can be someone who might be like a better fit there. And like, MD can like read between the lines there to be like, and also if it's not just you and she's worked there for a huge majority of her life, to be like, yeah, no, they're a little difficult and it might make everybody's life a little better for that. So I think like if you frame it in the sense that like beneficial to her, I would frame that to the MD that way and then let them take the lead on it. And I would just, yeah, I'm not ageist unless I am, but I personally believe if you don't want to catch up with the times, that's totally fine. But it is not okay if you are holding other people back.
I don't think it's fine when it's part of your job.
That's what I mean. Like, if you don't want to, if you want to have a rotary phone in your home, go for it. But like, you can't not use a cell phone at work.
Especially when you're working in a medical practice where medicine is something that's constantly changing and you need to be updated on information. Even like, I'll use an example for a medical situation that someone in my family was recently had, and they went to one doctor who wasn't, or one hospital who wasn't using the same type of computer program that the rest of the state was using. And so the medical records weren't being sent correctly because they didn't have the right technology to do it. Like, that's just messed up. And then when you don't have people that don't know how to use it, it's also not good for your practice as a whole. Like, I feel like that's something that MD should have confronted a long time ago. Like, that shouldn't be on you. That should have been something whoever is the head of this practice should have required this to happen a while ago.
Yeah, because those advancements are for like safety. Like, it's advancements, not just in like technology, but usually like improvements for X, Y, and Z, keeping people's records or whatever. And yeah, that it falls on you and or the patients to kind of like be accommodating for someone who's supposed to be helping them. Like, you're supposed to be accommodating the patients, not really the other way around. Mott's my old dentist, and I say his old dentist, even though it's currently still his dentist, but I'm trying to get him to fucking leave.
You don't even have anywhere to go. Where are you having him leave to?
No, we'll get a new dentist. But so this dentist we went to, I've gone to for years prior to this. He's the same one who said, open your mouth wider. No, don't do it like a girl. And I was like, if your hands weren't in my mouth, I would be like, sir,
the tiny,
your man who are 5 feet tall with tiny hands, and you want to talk about gender stereotypes? Okay, petite boy. The woman who works the front desk is his mother. This man is in his late 50s. Mott recently went and he said, yeah, she was hounding me about an appointment. And I said, stop the lights. That woman is still alive. And he said, yep. I said, she's still alive and she's still working, being the secretary for her precious little boy. And Mott was like, yep. And I got to say, it's difficult. Like, she's not emailing, you know, and so my question is the NP related to the MD?
That's a good question to ask. When I went to that weird place to get my passport.
Oh yeah, I've been there.
someplace that our manager sent us, and it was great. They looked us up. We got it real fast.
Yep. Middle ask question.
There's an old lady that works at the front, and that old lady ran that shit, that like a tight ship, and I appreciated her.
There you go.
So it's not an age thing. It's somebody keeping up with things that are happening in the office. Also, she was being very nice to me and very mean to someone else that I could tell was rude. And she was like, no. To me, oh, can you write down where you got your phone case? Your hair looks great. Like, so nice. So nice.
That's such me with my pharmacist else. And that's me at the DMV.
Yeah.
There was a time at the DMV where I left something in the car and I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. She goes, just run and get it. And someone else stepped up. She goes, no, she's going to her car and she'll be back. And I was like, this woman let me walk 7 minutes to and from my car to get back, and the rest of the line had to wait. And I was like, I love when like you're an asshole's favorite person.
Yes. And so it's not an age thing. It's like them keeping up with changing technology.
Yeah, I'm selectively ageist.
All right. Well, your turn.
Okay. Hi, guys. I'm looking for your opinion on what or would you have said. I'm struggling to find the words to rebuttal or explain my thoughts. For context, my friend will call Hannah 24 she, her, and I 24 she, her, are pretty different in many ways. I'm queer and want to marry a woman, while she's bi and wants to marry a man. Hannah brought up a creator named Kevin Samuels.
Oh, God.
I had to double check when you said Hannah wants to marry a woman. Hannah wants to marry a man, but is bi. I literally had to double check and I go, is there another Kevin Samuels? Because how do these things connect? Hannah brought up a creator named Kevin Samuels who made videos giving advice to women on how to attract a top tier man. She was explaining that before she changed her thinking, she used to dislike his videos, but now agrees because she wants to essentially attract a man who will take care of her while she is a housewife. Hannah also explained that she doesn't want to marry a woman because it's always 50-50. She explained that Kevin Samuels once stated that men don't want an overweight woman or one with kids because they don't want any attention away from them. When I disagreed, she said that I wouldn't get it because I'm queer and I'm not looking for a husband. I wanted to explain that while I'm not seeking a husband, I'm still a woman who wouldn't want to just be someone's wife while relying on their income or listen to a shallow and misogynistic man's advice. What would you have said? Am I wrong for thinking that's a weird ass perspective? Thanks and love you lots.
I'm slightly
offended. You think that there's a chance we thought that you were wrong?
No, like Kevin Samuels is dead. First of all,
is he?
Great. Yes.
Oh, that he was just recent, dropped dead. Wasn't it?
Yes. Sometimes you just gotta let God cook. Second, I would introduce her to Shira 7, aka Miss Sprinkle Sprinkle, because while she has some of Kevin's thoughts, her and Kevin tussled a lot on the internet, and her thoughts are more evolved than Kevin's, but it's the same mindset that your friend has. Let's just get her to Shira 7.
Well, because the difference is, like, one of these is like,
misogynist.
Well, yeah, like one of these is like, it's men being like, women, this is how you get a man like me, and men, these women should be subservient to you. You should protect all of your assets. They're going to try and they're going to do all of these things, and they need to provide you sex, X, Y, Z, and the other. Versus Shira's is like, girls, go get you a man with money, secure yourself a prenup, get all of this kind of stuff, get your ducks in a row, make sure you make got arrangements.
Make sure you have your own business.
Yeah, and then use that money to make your own money that is only fucking yours. Yes. And climb up, and if you're unhappy, take that money and the contracts you had prior to that, and then leave. And make that man buy you shit, make that man kiss the fucking ground you walk on. If you want to cook, cook. If you don't want to cook, order food. Like, it's not...
Yeah,
she said, if you want those traditional roles, they give you traditional roles.
Yes, and she's like, if you're a woman that doesn't want these traditional roles, then don't listen to me. Like, Kevin is like, this is the only answer, and this is the only thing you can do.
So her husband's whipped.
Yes.
Her husband
is like in the background cleaning the bathroom while she's making videos. Like, she knows that, like, that was the kind of man that she wanted, and she doesn't try to force that on anybody. But if that's what you want, then these are the steps that I took. She just released a book. You can buy her book. She just had, like, a big collab with... Who was the collab she had with? They just mentioned her on Jeopardy.
I gotta see that episode. Yeah. That's a new one. I haven't seen it. And you know what's crazy? Kevin Samuels, not married.
Nope. Dropped dead very young.
Yep.
Shira's been married for, like, 15-20 years.
Yeah, and he dropped dead in his Atlanta apartment with, and just a woman who is unnamed called 911 because she'd been there in the night with him. So what's that high value? Because I will also say that I saw this interesting video that this creator had done talking about the difference about these like grifters, these like right wing grifters versus the rebranding something that's always existed. Like, traditional roles have existed for a really fucking long time, but the way of going about it is so wildly different that, like, if you are actually trying to attract, like, let's, like, the person compared it to, like, old money versus new money, and they were like, if you're trying to attract old money by listening to the new money, it's like if you're trying to be a Kennedy and you are listening to Tony Robbins tell you how to be a Kennedy, you're never going to be a Kennedy. You're not even going to be a Tony Robbins, but at best, you can get somewhat close to being a Tony Robbins, nowhere near being a fucking Kennedy. Mm-hmm. So, like, who is she looking for? Is she looking for an Andrew Tate? Because she could get close to probably getting an Andrew Tate who, you know, sex trafficking, an absolute, like, horrible person. But, like, the idea that you have of a high-value man, you're listening to this fucking dude tell you how to get a guy who also likes him.
Yes.
Picture the guy who likes him.
Yep. Yep.
What do you think that is?
Yep.
Yeah, this to me is like straight up grounds for, like, I'm never going to speak to you again.
Would never.
I literally would be like, this is the most alarming thing ever. Can I take your vitals? Are you okay? Would you like to, shall we talk about potentially some like mental health treatment? Like what's going on? If it was like a full complete pivot, like similarly, if I had a friend who was like not religious at all and then started saying that like they think that they're God, like I would look at it from a mental health crisis POV. It doesn't seem like you are, which to me makes it, I think that this maybe has been a bit of a slower slope into this. I would literally be like, truthfully, you're fucking insane and I'm never going to speak to you again. Mm-hmm. And I don't hope you get any of the things that you want because I don't think you realize what this is. I hope you're happy. And if you wake up from this fucking insane cult, whatever shit that you have got on, give me a call. But like, fuck right off.
Yeah.
Also like,
Kevin Samuels, like of all people, Kevin Samuels.
And like what these people also say about like, by women specifically, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I'm waiting for her to be like, oh, I love Pearl.
Probably. She probably does.
Horrible, terrifying, awful. I'm just shocked. Shocked?
I didn't think that people actually took him seriously.
No, me neither.
Like, only men took him seriously.
Only incels who've never spoken to a woman.
Yeah. Kevin, like,
also
baffled.
I know, because I'm like, nobody, how old did they say they were? 24. 24-year-olds should not know who Kevin's. When he died, I was like, who is this? And they were like, described as being like one of the greats before the great of like the men, like how to find a high value, all of these things. And I was like, oh, so this is where they learned it.
Yes.
I don't know of him except when he died. And I was like, oh, I guess this is like the grandfather of the high value man movement.
Like the week that he died, an episode released on Atlanta, there was an episode with him in it, like the actual man, and he was not playing a good character. Like, I don't think he realized that they were making fun of him. He was playing essentially himself. I think he was playing himself, and if not, if he wasn't using his actual name, he was playing a version of himself, and they were making fun of him, and I don't think he got it, but he died that week and they still aired the episode.
Respect. Yeah. So the creator is Lovely Salty Jess. That's who had done it. And it's posted on April 10th. To me, if I had like one of my girlfriends being like, I'm just trying to seek a high value man, I'm like, the way that I'm booking a flight to, and here's where I'll say, this is where Cabo comes in, not for bachelorette party. The way I'm booking us a flight to Cabo and I'm going to lock us in a room, I'm going to be like, what has happened? Who hurt you? What do you need? Do you need to shake your ass on a yacht? Do I need to remind you that like point blank, quote unquote, high value men, those men are ugly.
Yeah. Because there's, if you have to think of yourself as a high value man,
because you have to tell other people, because
yes,
I'm not getting it from your job, are, your social circle, or what you look like.
As Shira calls them, they're dusties. And the thing is, Shira says a lot of things I do not agree with.
I also don't think she agrees with a lot of what she says.
She's clearly joking. She makes jokes. She is a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
That woman is a comedian, especially when she starts getting to her Michael Jackson stuff. Hilarious. But at least she's not trying to better, like make herself seem better than someone else. And if I feel like if there is someone to choose between, choose Shira.
100%. Like there are men with money who look a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to pick a man with money and you have to choose between, you have to choose three, or choose two out of the three: personality, attractiveness, and age. And the only time I'm going to tell you to forego personality and attractiveness is if that age is up in Great Depression. If this man can tell you what it's like to survive not having electricity and having to run his bathwater, fetch a water from the well, heat it up on the campfire, pour it in. I need this man to smell like mothballs because he's already started decaying. Like, he needs to be so old that you're getting all the inheritance and the money and that you only have to stomach that 3 years max.
Yeah.
5 years. But if he's on, I was gonna say 5 years, if he's on life support for the last couple, you don't have to interact with him.
Mm-hmm.
But like the secondhand embarrassment I would have if a friend said to me, because all I'm hearing is, I'm looking for an ugly man who hates me, but will marry me. Where do you think I can find one of those?
You really digged into your marry registry there.
I was just like, no, but truly, like, What?
Yeah.
I'm not friends with uglies like that. Like, this is ugly behavior.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, we're so much better. Like, we've said this before. No matter what you look like, you can fuck a famous person. And now you have people being like, I'm trying to find a man who hates women and has invested a little bit in Robin Hood. Like, aim higher. You can fuck a celebrity. Oh, Hannah.
Yuck.
Yuck. Lost cause for me. Just because I could never see her the same.
All right. Now we're going to take another break.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And we are back. It's time for our final segment, which is But Are They Wrong? Where we nominate a person, place, or thing, something in current events, pop culture, lesser known or very widely known that we think needs to be discussed. I would like to nominate something I teased earlier, Disneyland and Disney World. So the Disney Parks franchise, that specific sect of the Disney brand. So they've recently overhauled their disability program. And I will say that the little subtitle that caught my eye on every news site and made me truly laugh out loud. Because you know when someone says something and you go, you put a pen to paper in a statement and it didn't click for you there. Like you didn't, you got so close to the point and just flew right over. So Disney has stated that they needed to overhaul their disability program because people have always abused it. And, you know, like it's meant to be used for the people who need it, not just anybody. And they said it's become the most widely requested service at all parks, with use more than tripling over the past 5 years. And might I remind people, COVID happened. So their thinking is in the last 5 years, people have started lying a hell of a lot more about being disabled and abusing the system. Not that there was a mass disabling event that happened 5 years ago and has been ongoing since. Crazy. So the growth of that has also come with their recent announcement in 2021 of Genie Plus, which is a paid service to help people skip long lines. The add-on cost for that is between like $17 and $27 at Disney World, depending on which parks people are visiting. So people are saying this does also seem like a push for joining that program, which offers similar benefits. And so their disability program is basically like you don't have to wait in the line. You have the same time that it's going to take and you come back when the line is done. So it is not like so wildly over accommodating that you're getting like a private person to tour you around. Like it's just, you don't have to stand and wait in the lines if you are unable to. So the system has always had a level of questionable use, if not abuse, Len Testa said, president of the planning site, and that he said that in the email, and they sent out an email, the changes Florida and California about who is allowed to use it. people can join receiving benefits and how they can use it. So the free service lets you show up for the wait time you request it. And if you want to like ride Space Mountain and the wait is 45 minutes long, you request a slot at 45 minutes past then. So they don't have to stay in the line to wait, and you can use an expedited line when you show up. And under these new guidelines, the Disability Access Program is now quoted, intended to accommodate a small percentage of guests who, due to developmental disabilities like autism or similar, are unable to wait in a conventional queue for an extended period of time. And the change is going to effect on May 20th at Walt Disney World and June 18th at Disneyland. So the only two things they cite are autism, a developmental disability, or something similar. And then, which has been quoted in TikToks, and I read three articles on this, and I'm thinking this must have been in the email, but some of these sources, the bigger sources, they weren't showing the email because it's like Washington Post and they've got good relationships. So I'm not going to like say factually this was what had been said, but it was reported a lot more on TikTok. I just haven't seen the source of it, that it was either heavily implied or even suggested that you're welcome to wheelchair use. Like, you know, and if you don't fall into those things, it's basically being like autism, developmental disability or similar, which what the fuck does that mean? Or if that doesn't work, you can get a wheelchair, which mm-hmm. fucking irrelevant. Like a wheelchair is fucking like that is not the only two options, and it is not like a replacement whatsoever. Sitting down or not being able to be mobile in that way, like maybe can alleviate it something for someone, but it doesn't necessarily mean that like, oh, well, now I can be in this line for X amount of time. So the service has always been meant for the visitors that Disney said. They told the Washington Post, but the program didn't use such specific language, like specifically calling out autism and developmental disabilities. And it was saying, basically being like, because we didn't call out that specifically, it's a loophole of that. And now we want to make it even clearer. And Disney has yet to answer any specific questions about what options are available other than the ones that are just laid out, which is the line skipping essentially one. It's not line skipping. It's just like you don't have to wait in the line, but you still have to wait. And they said visitors can like check online to see like the whole suite of like needs for guests with disabilities that we can meet. And you can like talk with an individual consultant. And I like looked on their website and like it not much. Like again, like here's how you can rent a wheelchair. Here's how you can rent an assisted device. Here's how you can rent a guide or work with a tour guide if you need to. And then you can call the front desk if you need help or something coordinating, or if you have a question, you can set up like a Skype or a Zoom. Like it's very like, let's take this off this website kind of language. So even since then, they are now seemingly, people think they're rolling back parts of it with people who might have difficulties waiting in line, expanding it a bit, hopefully. But they will not require documentation still, which I'm fine with. I have zero issue with not requiring documentation of people disclosing their disabilities. But it is a little crazy that you want to be more specific and cite autism, developmental disabilities, and something similar, but then also not require any sort of evidence or proof there. So the burden of proof is now it just feels like they're just going to deny more people. And you can't show proof as like to back up, oh, this is why I need that. Because they're like, we don't need to see the proof because we're just going to turn it down anyways. So the current system has been in place since 2013. And it replaced a version that granted visitors with disabilities like a card that let them skip the lines. And in 2013, the reason why that one was gone was New York Times had reported that wealthy New York City families were hiring people with disabilities to come with them and use their card. So this is going to say, I'm glad the Washington Post put this in there because this, to me, feels like they're trying to make a direct comparison to like, clearly this must be happening again and we haven't caught it. Because what else could have happened in the last 5 years? And it's like, are you kidding me? Just flying right over the goddamn fucking point. And yeah, they said in part of the misuse that it's become unwieldy and that the changes are needed to preserve it for the people who actually need it and want to use it. And right now, the new policy says the services will be available for individuals who need it, their immediate family only, or no more than 4 people total if they aren't immediate family. And they are using the same like warnings that they did before, that if you make a false statement to get disability service, guests will be permanently banned from entering Walt Disney Resort and Disneyland Resort, and any previous passes purchased and products will be forfeited and not refunded. And I just think that like, boy, oh boy, how has this run through the chain of command that you're going to do something so bold and so stupid after a mass disabling event to be like, this, like, truthfully, it feels like COVID denying. Like, I'm just like, what the fuck are you talking about? Because, like, I love Disneyland, wanted to go so badly. And I've always, like, we wanted to take our nephew, but, like, the whole thing, like, I could not go until I got beta blockers. Mm-hmm. And still, to this day, the whole thing I've said, I'm like, I can't wait. I can't stand. Like, I can't wait in line. I can't be in the heat.
Yeah, you wanted to go for your birthday.
Yeah, but a wheelchair doesn't really do much. If I can sit on a wheelchair in the shade out of the line, okay. But, like, walking is usually okay with, for, like, for me, for, like, a, I'm pretty good with that for a good while. But, like, I can't stand and I can't just be in the heat. Like, I got to get out. I got to get in the water. I also got to lay down. Like, usually I have to, like, extend a little bit longer than that. And so that doesn't help me whatsoever. And then there are people with Crohn's who need to use bathrooms regularly, people who have colostomy bags, people who have any sort of assisted things for digestion or anything that need to be cleaned, all of that. No? What do you, what? Like, just absolutely insane. And it feels so odd to call out autism and developmental disabilities, which develop, name them. Like, what are you talking about here? And not the rest. Also, because there are other things that people can, that are not in a lot of the, like, a lot of developmental disabilities as well as autism, it can be invisible disabilities there, which totally valid. But because you're also not requiring documentation, people who have visible disabilities who need the help, we don't need to see the proof because we actually don't, it doesn't matter because you don't fall into this category.
Yeah.
And then you're also making people then go out of their way to do X, Y, and Z or whatever. And they're just, it's about truth. It's, I think it's truthfully about money. Cause like I've never once, you know, when I'm a totally able-bodied person, never once have gone to Disneyland and been like, damn, fuck those people who like are coming back after the line is done and they're going ahead. Like, no, we still let celebrities cut the lines.
Yep.
I've had a guy I didn't got to cut the lines like that. Like, it's just a problem for nobody. Like, we're just making more of a problem here. And it feels like a really odd anti, like, a COVID denying statement that I'm like, did nobody figure that out? I got POTS from COVID. Like, come on. So many people did. Like, it's just crazy.
Yeah, that's wild.
But fuck Disney. Also, fuck Leo Skeppy, but I don't want to talk about him.
All right, here's mine. I'm going to give a content warning for child trafficking. So if you don't want to hear this, cut off. All right, my Rachel of the Week is Kidria Gibsey and her son, Roger Maggi. So Kidria, I might be saying her name incorrectly. It's K-E-D-R-I-A. She is a teacher in Texas. And both her and her son were arrested for and charged with recruiting juvenile students for sex trafficking. She's 42. Her son's 22. So following a court procedure, she's charged with 6 counts, 3 each for prostitution and sex trafficking, with a total bond of $750,000. As part of her release condition, she is barred from contacting the 3 complaining witnesses and having unsupervised interactions with minors. So she's believed that she helped her son recruit troubled teenagers from the high school that she was working at, offering them a place to stay, which would be a hotel. There's evidence that was shown during the court proceedings that there were text messages and complaints from females that, or young girls, I should say, girls that her son, with her son, that was discussing payments for prostitution services via Zelle. And Grisby paid for the motel room where all these incidences allegedly occurred. The victims were 15, 16, and 17 years old. They were students at the school, and reportedly they were runaways. And since then, more teens have come forth and said that she tried to recruit them while they were at school. It was investigated by the local sheriff's department and the trafficking unit. And so she's still in jail now. And then, according to 2 social justice leaders, Quanell X and Dr. Candace Matthews, they revealed that there's a possible whistleblower who informed the school about this a year before something was actually done. And according to a sworn statement from February 2023, a teacher of the district who wants to remain anonymous said that she heard of the allegations and reported it and nothing happened. And then there was a claim that their daughter was friends with the son. And the news obtained copies of all these interactions that actually happened. The police department is basically saying, the sheriff's department is basically saying that it's a lie. He said this on Monday, that it was never reported to them. And if it did, then they would have done something about it. But Quan LX says, this don't pass a smell test of y'all. All y'all should be fired. So I'd say there's multiple Rachels in this, but this is messed up and disgusting. And I hope they rot in prison. I don't think they were charged with enough.
No, I mean, $750,000 bond right now. Oh, wow. Yeah, report been made against it. Someone said February. So she taught cosmetology at high school?
Yeah, I think it might have been one of those, like, since there were, like, runaway.
No, that's, it's, to me, that's, like, such a specific knowing your target in that. Like, trades in general tend to be a lot of, like, first time, like, schooling completion degrees for, like, a lot of immigrants or people whose, like, families hadn't gone to school, that, like, that's what you do
full time.
You do a trade because it's, and you're able to make good money and you're able to, like, continue making money. You don't cap off. You have union protections and all of that. And they're far cheaper to get into than a 4-year university. And the ROI, like, you make it all back. And so, like, that's, like, a really specifically targeted to, especially in a high school, of people who already know that, like, that's the route that they're going to take because they either want to or they need to. It's the option that they have.
Yeah.
That it feels very.
It seems like
not just an off crime of opportunity. It feels intense.
Calculated. Like her and her son sat down and was like, and we're talking. And then they were like, I know how to make some money.
Cause also, like, I've never heard of a cosmetology program at a high school. So, like, to me, again, that sounds like you either sought out that position specifically or you, that's where you've done that at other schools. Mm-hmm. And this is something that, like, you know, to specific to the area or whatever it is, like, and then, or you went through it yourself and then, you know, the situation and the circumstance of that. It's like, it's, that's, it feels so also planned out and deliberate, and obviously deliberate, but like a long con deliberate that they both were involved in, not just,
and I wouldn't be surprised if there were more.
Yeah. So exactly. That's exactly how I feel. That's horrible. Awful, awful, awful. And I agree. I hope they absolutely rot in jail. And I don't think that they'll be ushered in with welcome arms by their inmates.
No, not at all.
And that I respect.
Yeah. Oh, well, to end on a lighter note, we began this episode with someone talking about choking out Smurf. And it was just reported that Octavia Spencer among 14 joining Rihanna in the Smurfs movie.
Put him in the Monopoly movie too.
Right. So there's an animated film with Paramount and Paramount Animations for the Smurfs movie. So full circle.
So Smurfs are not the same as trolls.
No. Smurfs are blue. Trolls are.
No, but the movie, it's not, there's not a crossover, not the same universe.
Not that I'm aware of.
Well, because trolls are dolls. I think Smurfs were animated before. I think trolls were physical toys first.
There was a lot of weird crossovers in the 80s and 90s.
Oh, yeah, you could be. That could be it then.
There is a whole wiki with trolls and Smurfs.
Oh.
So there are trolls that are part of Smurfs, but it's not the trolls that the troll trolls.
Mm. Well, in an additional fun note, Morgan Wallen has been arrested.
Yes, yes, yes. I was going to send this to you, but I thought that we were going to discuss it at some point.
The way that I just can visually see in my head Morgan Wallen fans being ripped in half, because Morgan Wallen fans love to back the blue and they love defending Morgan Wallen. So how are they coping with the fact that Morgan Wallen almost impaled cops by throwing a chair 6 stories onto the ground, almost killing them? How do they feel about that?
The same way that they feel when they get arrested for something, but also are like, Black people, they're always wrong. They can get arrested, but us,
they say, free my guy.
Fuck the police. When is that?
They said, fuck those police.
Yeah.
But only those ones. Mm-hmm. Unless my uncle was there. And if my uncle was there, he's a really good guy. Right. It's always like, no, my uncle, you don't understand. He's amazing. Kristen Stewart is also currently watching Gilmore Girls, which I just say, it's a great day to be a Kristen Stewart stan. And finally, I recently found out that people are lasering off their baby hairs.
Why?
And this is a PSA. If I find out any of you bitches lasered off your baby hairs for cosmetic reasons, I will find you and I will come back and I will draw them all back on. It is, why would, don't let anyone tell you that those aren't cute. Don't let anyone tell you that those aren't adding to your hair, adding to the style, giving you so many more opportunities. I totally understand. But right now, as a grown up adult age, I get kids are mean, like making fun of other kids, whether you have like baby hairs on the back
of
your neck.
White people? Because Black people love baby hairs. I am not one of them. I feel like once you're an adult, we don't need to lay them down. That's just me. Because when you reach a certain point, they're adult hairs.
Don't say they're so little, though. That's something maybe
some people's are adult hairs.
Well, some people actually just part their hair.
And they need to put it back with the rest of their hair. But like, are these white people doing this?
Well, one of them, ironically, is someone who it loves to be adjacent to Black culture, but then it keeps one foot in, one foot out. Kim Kardashian. Uh-huh. And apparently she's trying to get it back because she lasered them off. And then the other one is allegedly, because this is not confirmed, allegedly Ariana Grande.
Well, both of those people come from ancestry that is very hairy. So I also...
That's what I'm saying. I totally understand that. But different. I think as adults, I think like we all need to, like, I want everyone to know, if you are hairy and you have baby hair, whatever that is, keep it. Love it. The men I date, I don't want them to be hairless. Arm hair, gorgeous. Baby hair, gorgeous. You want to keep your armpit hair, leg hair, whatever, gorgeous. But like right now, I'm very fearful that this is becoming a new trend, that people are going to start lasering off the hair on their head and the hair on their neck and all of that. And if you want to bleach something, you want to make it a little less contrast, go for that. But please do not laser that stuff off. I feel like it's going to be the new buckle fat. I feel like it's going to be the new that trend. And it's just, we're going to be looking like tight faded Coralines. Do you know what I mean? Like Tim Burton characters. We're going to be a Tim Burton character with a tight fit. Because look at what this looks like. She looks like she's on Love Island.
Don't ever show shit like that to me ever again.
I know. Terrifying. Is that not terrifying?
Is she always going to wear her hair up, down?
No.
She doesn't even have hair. She didn't even have, it's a little tiny ponytail. She didn't even have hair to cover it up. Uh-huh. So, well.
Keep your baby hairs, everybody. I love baby hairs. The end.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. But Am I Wrong is a production by me, Megan Rinks.
And me, Melissa DeMonts, plus Diamond Imprint Productions.
Post-production by Coco Lorenz.
And production assistance by Melanie D. Watson.